We're continuing our lesson on personal evangelism. And tonight I wanted to look at the what personal work can I do. We've touched on this a little bit last week, and many of the things we might be talking about might be repeating those, some of the things we previously heard and previously taught, but this lesson will help also bring those things into our remembrance, and maybe it will be said in such a way that you'll gain a little bit more knowledge about this. In question number one, I want to have you turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and starting in verse 14, we have the parable of the talents. And I asked, according to verse 15, how did the man decide how much to give each of his servants?
According to their ability.
According to their abilities. It says, and to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability, and he went on the journey. So everyone has different abilities. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, we start seeing some of these abilities and different abilities people can have. In Ephesians 4, 11, it says, he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. We know in that day, whenever that we had the revelation and the Holy Spirit working in revelation, they had those the apostles and the prophets. But also now we still today have evangelists, pastors, teachers. Each one has different roles. Each one has different duties. So each one of those as well have different abilities. And it all comes together and works together. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read 12 to 27. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So here we see that we are all individual members, but we all make up the body. And each person has their own unique role to fill. It can be that you can't say, well, because I can't preach, I'm not a member. I'm not a member of the body. Or I can't lead song leading, or I can't teach a Bible class. Because I can't do those, I'm not of the body. No, everybody has their own unique roles to fill in the body. So we see that in these verses. Everyone has different abilities. Everyone needs to be using those different abilities, as we saw as well in the parable of talents in Matthew 25. These next lessons I'm going to be covering, Lord willing, are going to help us discuss how we can do personal evangelism. First off, we're going to talk about easy steps anyone can do. We're going to then go into more deeper discussion about how to set up a home Bible study, the do's and don'ts of the home Bible study, preparing lessons and sample lessons for different stages of knowledge. But let's go back again as we ended last class talking about something, and Kevin Massingill brought something up in class, and I told him that that was right at the start of the next lesson. The first step of personal work that we can do, being friendly. You'll have more influence on friends, even new friends, than perhaps any other. And we talked about Proverbs 18:24. To have friends, you must be yourself, be friendly. So we must be friendly. And then, as we pointed out in the introduction lesson, that 76%, over 3 out of every 4 conversions are due to being family or friends of another member. So being friendly, new friends, even just going up and greeting somebody and just talking with them a little bit and letting them talk to you and you listening to them, that's a great way of making friends. Now again, I want to emphasize, it's not that we seek the numbers, but we know that each one of those is a soul that has repented and is now saved, and we are joyful because of that. So 76% are from family and friends. For a moment this evening, I want you to think about that other 24. The other 24%. That could be your grocery cashier, your bank teller, your mail carrier, parcel delivery, restaurant server, hairdresser, store clerk, a real estate agent, a pet groomer, et cetera, et cetera. The person 3 doors down that just sees you in passing, but they know who you are. That could be that other 24%. So today, I'm not going to have it set aside to discuss this, but I want you just to reflect on that list, you know, that up there, family and friends, and then all those different things, all those different occupations and people you come in contact with every day. How can I evangelize to them? So now let's get into ways to evangelize. We talked about how we're talking about we need to evangelize to them. How can we evangelize to them? One of the easiest ways to evangelize is in simply inviting them to services. You might not have the courage or the boldness to be able to teach someone, but you may never do anything more helpful to influence someone for the Lord than to get them to come to services and hear the word taught to them. And as I was working and reviewing this lesson today, I thought of a new point. And yes, I know God works in his own way and he'll always work out his will and his providence. But what would the New Testament look like if Andrew hadn't gotten his brother Simon Peter and brought him to Jesus? He heard about the Messiah, he found the Messiah, and he went and found his brother and brought him to Peter. So what would the New Testament be like if Andrew didn't take that time to evangelize to his own brother? So we must always be on the lookout. Turn over to John 4. We've referenced this verse on other occasions. John 4, verse 35 says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for the harvest." We need to be on the alert and watching. Look up, looking. Too often we're either down in our phones or in our own business and not thinking about spreading the word of God. We're too involved in we talked about it previously, those thorns and the materialism is gotten a hold of us in that manner of life, and we need to be always looking for those doors of opportunity to be teaching others. So inviting them to service, how can we do that? Tools that we can have on hand. Many people have noticed and come to me and ask me, Did you do this? Did you do this? There are new church business cards in the foyer if you've seen them. You might not have seen them. If you haven't, that's what they look like. That's what they look like. You have the open Bible there and the address and a QR code that will take them directly to our website so they don't have to type the website, but it's also on the card if they want it. And I learned this 2 years ago from visiting a congregation. You want to have more impact with your business, with the church business card? The box I left blank with a matte finish. You can put your name and your cell phone number on there and give it to somebody so they'll know. It could be, yes, it can even be a visitor here. If someone comes and visits with you and you say, hey, next time you're in the area, let me know. And you give it the card. That's a great way of inviting to people's services. Even neighbors and friends, give them those. Other way, flyers and postcards for the gospel meetings and special series. Be on the lookout. I contacted Brother Morgan today to get his information about what the subjects are going to be for the upcoming meeting. So the spring meeting flyers and cards will be coming soon. So be on the lookout for those to be able to hand out to friends, neighbors, whatever it may be, coworkers, posting it on a community bulletin board, wherever it may be. Those are some ways to do that. Or more social media way, Facebook events and flyers. Every time we have the gospel meeting, I make the Facebook event, but it's a public event that you can invite people to, and they can put that on their calendar, if you will. That's a great way to have a tool on hand to invite people to services. So that's just inviting them to services. That's ways to get to them here. But also there's other times that you might want to just let them study the Word of God on their own time. So there's tools that we have available for that. There are Bible correspondence courses that are available. I looked in the drawer the other day. I think we're missing one of the lessons, but we do have Bible correspondence courses, available. Or out in the foyer, there are pamphlets and tracts, however you want to describe it. Pamphlets is more today's terms. If you say tract, you'd be like, what? What's a tract to some people? Pamphlet with information in there. There are several subjects in the foyer. And that's why I asked you last week on your thought-provoking questions on number 11 there, stop by it and take a look. If you see what's available to help others teach, if you don't see one on a particular subject, to let Adam Clark or one of the other deacons or elders know. I counted when I made this lesson, there are over 150 pamphlets available from One Stone, where we get our pamphlets from, and that ranges from simple introductions that are great for passing out in local neighborhoods, which is written by a brother of a member here, by the last name of Smeltzer. There is a tract for door-to-door, or there's other deeper subjects that could be debated through the world that you might know that they have an issue with. It could be instrumental music, marriage, divorce and remarriage, reality of hell, and so on and so forth. There's over 150 pamphlets available. And they all have a spot on the back, typically, where you can put your name and phone number and hand it out as you see opportunity and let them know to get in touch with you. Or you also can get in touch with them. Follow up with them. Make it a point the next time you see them, or arrange a time to see them and make it a point to ask them and follow up about the pamphlet of the subject, saying, hey, do you have any questions or anything like that? And you can sit down and study with them. That's a great tool to use. Any questions any comments so far?
Just on the idea of giving tracts to people, those people we know have opportunity to talk to them. We may know some of their religious beliefs, and we go get a tract that deals with something they believe. Well, you don't want to walk up to them and say, here, you need to read this, or I want you to read it. The thing to do is read it yourself, and then give it to them and say, when I read this, I thought of you. I'd like to know what your thoughts are, how you feel about this. And so what you've done is opened the door. It's not the idea, here, take this.
Yes.
And so you want to do it in such a manner as to make it appealing and inviting.
Very good point. Very good point to open the door that way, saying, I read this and thought of you. And also it'll help you get an idea of any questions they have might have when they come to you. You already know what was in the pamphlet. You wouldn't say, hey, let me go read that myself and figure out what it is. You already have read it once before. Great, great idea and great tip there. Thank you. Okay, so now we've talked about inviting them to service, studying on their own. Next step, going a little bit deeper, is having a study with them. Having a study with them. And that might be a daunting thing, saying you're like, nope, not going to do it. But let me tell you this. There's already brethren who have made, and brethren and sisters who have made Bible series and made them available to Christians that they can have. For instance, in one of the books that I'm using as my sources, Brother Charles Goodall had a PowerPoint lesson at one time called In the Same Hour of the Night. And that went through the establishment of the church as a fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. So it went through Old Testament and New Testament, showing the fulfillment there. It talked about some of the apostasies in modern day religion and also talked about the plan of salvation. Now that is deep, and we're going to cover some of that because, as I mentioned, this one PowerPoint lesson that he had, he then took that, updated and expanded it, and made it lessons in the Evangelizing the Lost book. And those, we're going to be covering somewhat of them, pieces of them, in lessons 8 through 11, Lord willing. So we're going to, he expanded it. Now we're going to just kind of condense it just slightly for presentation in here. And also available is Jewel Miller has a visualized Bible study series. This used to be on VHS. That's how old this was. The series is. It used to be on VHS. Now it is available on DVD or even a USB thumb drive. And you get manuals and answer keys, and you go through the lessons talking about who God is through the patriarchal age, the Mosaic age, and the Christian age, his plan for redeeming man, and also the history of the Lord's church. A third one that I found, that I've seen and went through before, is Johnny Edwards' Making Your Life Right with God. That used to be it was a lesson from a 1983 article that then was turned into a tract that then got turned into a home Bible study. And, boys, I didn't let you know. I'm going to give you the one-page outline of it and show you how it was laid out to where you could easily go through the Bible, fill in the blanks of that outline as you work through it. And now, not only that, not only have you gone through it and studied it yourself, you have that tool as an outline to use to teach other people as well. So those are some of the studies that have already been made available out there, the walkthrough, or you could even take the Bible correspondent courses and walk through those as well. Those are also an amazing tool that you can use as an outline of your studies. And there are many correspondence courses available. So we've talked about inviting someone to services. We've talked about having them study on their own. We've talked about having prepared Bible study with them. Carrie. Oh, okay.
I just want to wait till you're done.
I was getting ready to move on to the next point, so go ahead.
I was going to say, too, when you're handing out material and tracts and things like that, you have to know your audience. And you have to know them a little bit, right? Yeah. So if I just give you something that's going to overwhelm you right off the get-go, you're probably not going to show the kind of interest and think, you know, I'm trying to get real deep subject with you. I got to know where you're at.
Yep.
With your faith. And kind of like Jesus did. He met people where they were at.
Yes.
You know, didn't let them and where he needed them to go. But sometimes if you just overwhelm someone, like you said, like Jim was talking about, hey, I see you like instrumental music here, read this, you know, probably going to offend people.
Right. So, yes, if you don't know them, you want to give a good overall good lesson, Jim.
At what Terry said, start where the people are. Several years ago, this young preacher had an appointment with an agnostic and asked me to go with him. And about 5 minutes into the study, the young preacher says, do you want to go to heaven? Well, he wasn't even aware that there was a God, if there is a heaven, or if he wanted to go there. So that comes back. You need to start where they are.
Yes, very true. Starting where they are. And give you a hint, that's the answer to number one for next week. So we see all these things about these, we have studies with them, we talk, you can give an overall one if you don't know the person, getting to know the person, being friendly with them, finding out what they believe in, and then saying, hey, I've read this and I thought of you. And you might want to wait a couple times, not just say, okay, you said something about instrumental music, so the next time I'm going to come to you, I'm going to have that tract ready. That might come off a little too harsh, so you want to make sure you are being friendly in your approach as well. So next comes having an actual study with the person. So how do you conduct a home study, whether you're using the presented Bible series information as we talked about in the last slide, or you're sitting down for your own study with the person? First and foremost, we talked about being friendly, and in being friendly, you're showing concern for their soul's welfare. Showing concern for their welfare. You can, when you set up the study, a great way to do that and to make sure they know that you want to meet with them is offering them themselves two potential days of the week in different times and ask them what time works best for them for that study, saying, hey, I really want to meet with you and talk to you. What day works best? What time works best for you? And as you're saying this, use some interpersonal communication, kind of subliminal messaging. So if it's been proven that if you shake your head yes, the person you're talking to shakes their head yes. Nod your head as you talk for mirroring. Next one is kind of an obvious one. Be on time. Show that you have concern for their care and their soul's welfare and their own personal time as well. So you're on time for the study. And if you have the prepared material, and as we talked about, starting where they start and start at a baseline if need be, teach the prepared material. If throughout the study, and it will happen, a question will be brought up about another different Bible topic, have a notebook handy. Write it down as a question and say we'll circle back to it at the end of the study. Because we want to do this because an off-the-cuff and unprepared response can do and may do more harm than good. And also remember, if you're talking to someone, they are not a Christian yet, they're not even a babe in Christ, and they might be asking a question that's stake. They might be asking one of those stake questions. And go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God and come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And then also in 1 Peter 2:2, that same image is brought forth. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. These neighbors that you're talking to aren't even babes in Christ, aren't even to that maturity of a babe, a baby and they're asking a question that is solid food, that's steak, you wouldn't give steak to a newborn baby. So come, write it down, lay the foundations, and many times they might see the answer themselves as you're studying it, and they might go back to it and say, oh, that question I was asking about, does that mean this, this, and this? And they'll put two and two together themselves. And some of the class, most of the class next week is going to be going through the actual teaching part of the home study. So if you have a prepared material or don't, we're going to go through the actual home study part, Lord willing, next week. So being on time, showing care and concern for them and their welfare, teaching the prepared material. So you go through your subject, and you're going to find... Actually, hang on 1 second. I don't have lesson six. Could I have borrow your lesson six, Kathy? So you're going to find, as you go through lesson the lessons of Acts 2, 14 to 36, Acts 8, 30 to 36, Acts 13, Acts 17, Acts 24, all of them led up to one certain point. All the teaching and all the personal studies that you will have is leading to one certain point. What's that certain point? Repentance, for them to obey. Encourage them to obey what's been taught. We're going to just read real quick. Here you go, Kathy. Thank you. So we're going to read real quick in Acts 8. Acts 8, we have the account of Philip and the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch here. In Acts 8, we see in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, he began where the eunuch was, and he preached Jesus to him. As they went down the road, there came some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he baptized him. So he started at the same scripture. He started where that person was, showed the fulfillment of that prophecy and of that count in Christ, and also in that teaching as well, showed the need for obeying the gospel, obeying the plan of salvation that's been laid out by Christ to believe and be baptized. So he said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" In Acts 16, we have the account of the Philippian jailer. And he came in verse 30 and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them in the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. So again, studied with them. And it led to understanding the need for baptism and the need to be baptized then, right now, in the same hour of the night. So we want to have a point of the studies. If you're not using a prepared Bible lesson and you're using your own studies and making your own material or whatever you may be to study with someone, have that as the end conclusion. You want to make sure they see the need for their soul, the need to obey the gospel. Next, after they have obeyed the gospel, we as people who have taught them as well need to make sure we don't just convert and neglect. Don't just say, okay, move on to the next person. No. In Acts 2, 42, after they had obeyed the gospel in verse 30 and 8 and following in verse 41, they were baptized. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. They had constant fellowship. They were always abounding in the apostles' doctrine and even from house to house in verse 46, going to each other's house and building each other up in edification there. In Colossians 1, verse 23, says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which is preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. They need to continue in the faith. They need to make sure and study the word of God so they are grounded. They're steadfast no matter what may come, no matter what temptations and trials and persecutions may come. We need to make sure and follow up with them that, and don't neglect that soil. Water that seed that's in that soil so it will, that God can give that growth. Too often, we see a person obeys the gospel, and it might be for a week, maybe a month, or a year or so, there'll be edification for that person. But then it almost just stops. We need to make sure that they are continually grounded, because as we saw in the parable of the sower, what about that stony ground? It had some root and went down. But then when persecutions came, it withered. So we need to make sure that we are continuing with that person, helping them be grounded and steadfast. Yes, they must be working out their own salvation. They have a part in it as well. They have to be doing their part. And in verse 7 of chapter 2, on that same page in some Bibles, or next page, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Again, being rooted, being established, being abounding. All these things that we must be doing to help them be that way. And then also in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, towards the end of Paul's first letter to the church of Corinth, and we know from studying previously in other lessons all the issues that the church of Corinth had. So he's getting to the end of the letter here, and he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So yes, you yourselves need to be doing this, but you also helping those who are weaker, as we studied in Galatians, to be doing that as well. Helping them have that root, being rooted and steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And if they are always abounding in the work of the Lord and learning that, they'll be understanding that great commission, as we already talked about in Matthew 28. Let's turn over to Matthew 28 one more time, again rereading this text. Matthew 28, verse 20. After he said in verse 19 in the Great Commissions, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. As they're abounding in the work of the Lord and abounding in their studies and being rooted, they'll know that they have been taught. So they also must share that word and teach others, as the Great Commission states there, or as 2 Timothy 2:2 states. In 2 Timothy 2:2, the things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. I forgot to look this up, but I am pretty sure that word men there is anthros. For mankind, committing that to faithful mankind, men and women. Too often we say, oh, the preacher will do it, the elders will do it, the deacons will do the work. It's to faithful mankind. All of us, whoever is faithful, needs to be able to teach others also. Any comments or questions? Duke?
One other suggestion in conducting home studies. You don't want to embarrass anybody. A lot of times somebody gets embarrassed, they're going to cut the study off. And most people are not familiar with the scriptures. Most everybody. So what you want to do, depending on how many is in the study, take enough Bibles of the same Bible so that you can tell them what page number.
That is a tip coming up next week and next week's lesson. Thank you.
Yes, but yes. No, you're perfectly fine. Getting the exact same Bible, whether it be just going to the bookstore or Walmart or wherever it may be and just finding small Bibles and taking them with you to where you can say, okay, we're going to go to this page number and read this verse. Kevin.
One thing, and you may, if you cover it next week, I'll stop talking, but and people may disagree. But sometimes we talk about how you might not be the best fit because of a personality or how you communicate. So you bring somebody who is. So let me use an example. In this area, we have an army base. So bring somebody who perhaps was once in the military. There's some common ground there. You speak the same language. You understand what that person's going through. If the person's a farmer, try to find a farmer, and then you have the common ground. Same thing if the person's, you know, a young woman. Bring a woman that's probably that age or been through what they're going through, and then you have that. I think a lot of times we want to do it ourselves, and we got it, and it's a team effort here. And that's at least, you know, kind of what I was taught and saw as an example growing up as well. Don't be afraid to ask and, like, hand it off to someone who might fit that better than you. That's not a failure. That's working it. If you notice, all the apostles, we don't know everything about all of them because they all had different strengths like we talked about before. There was stuff that maybe Thomas was good at that maybe Peter wasn't good at. And it's the same with our home studies today. My wife's a much better presenter of stuff to probably anybody than I am. So I would bring her to make more sense because I would mess it up. So we just need to be aware of that. And on a second note, for men, don't forget the wives and spouses and all of that, because they can have a lot of input and relevance in somebody's life, male or female.
And yes, and I agree with that. And for sure, you want to take someone else with you because it could be a tricky situation you don't want to get yourself into as well. Karen?
It just reminds me of a good scripture that goes with all this is where Paul said, I become all things to all men so that I may win some.
Find common ground. Agreed. Kevin made that great point. If you can find common ground with them or find someone that has common ground and help them to be able to open their doors, let down their shields a little bit. Thank you all. And Lord willing, next time we'll be talking about preparing yourself to teach that home study.